I'm WDET's Quinn Kleinfelter. Officials in Inkster are celebrating funding approved by Michigan's legislature and the governor, which erases about $12 million of debt left over after the city's school district was dissolved a decade ago. Until now, Inkster taxpayers had been saddled with covering that red ink for a school system that no longer exists. State Representative Dylan Wagella's district includes Inkster. Wagella says the debt relief helps right what he calls a historic wrong.
The reason Inkster Public Schools existed in the first place was because of racial redlining. So when the district was shut down in 2013, the kids were divided into four different school districts, dividing the community up, making it very difficult for kids to participate in after-school programming, et cetera. And there was this legacy debt that was left over from that closure that residents have been paying on. So by finally paying this debt off, I see it as a way for us to make things right of our past mistakes and shutting down the district and the history of redlining in this area. But also, it's going to lower the tax rates for residents who are in those boundaries. Because instead of paying the maximum millage rate to pay the debt off, they'll pay the rate that the districts that the kids actually go to, they'll pay that rate.
How did Inkster get into such debt in the first place?
So we looked into this a lot, and there's, you know, it's a little bit complicated, but the main driver was the district lost a lot of enrollment over the course of several years. Some of the things that happened at that time that contributed to it was the lift on charter school caps in the state of Michigan. So a lot of charter schools started opening up across the state when that cap was lifted, and Inkster Public Schools was affected by that. There's other factors that go into it, such as the way that historically we've graded schools based on standardized test scores, which is an inequity, and that would take some time to explain. But essentially the idea is, you know, you can predict a student's standardized test scores based on their household income, and then we assign schools different grades, and that changes the way communities view schools. Combining that with the charter school cap being removed can lead people to leaving schools thinking that they're not as good as they actually are because of some standardized test scores that come out.
So how did that lead to a debt then? Because people were leaving the schools because of that?
Yeah. So when you leave the school, when any district that loses thousands in enrollment is going to lose their pure pupil funding from the state. And no matter how good you are at budgeting, you know, in my view, it's almost impossible to make up for that drastic loss in such a short period of time.
Some Republicans in the legislature have criticized the funding for the debt relief. They said that they had low-income residents in their areas, too, but they would say, quote, their districts were not getting bailed out. And one said it sends a message to school districts to make bad financial decisions and don't worry about it because the rest of the state will save you anyways. What's your reaction to those comments?
Well, I think that that's a really interesting way to put it. Republicans have been using emergency manager laws for the state to take over districts, and it hasn't gone well. You know, it takes away local control from communities. It hasn't produced the results that they would like, and I think it's actually contributed to making some of these problems worse. But what I would say is we should be looking at any policy at the state level that can help kids out and that can help communities out, and this is righting a historical wrong. So I think it's a baseless criticism.
Why say it's a historical wrong? To these people or others that would talk, they'll say, well, it was bad financial problems, whether they were decisions or how things worked out, you know. But why would you say this is a historical wrong?
Because the way that we've developed education policy over the last 40 years before Democrats had the trifecta has led to a lot of these problems, as I've outlined, you know, moments ago. You know, we've had harmful policies that have hurt low-income communities across the state, and, you know, most low-end communities are generally communities of color, communities that don't have as good education funding because of the way we do property taxes in the state of Michigan and some other factors as well.
I've heard some officials in Inkster say that this debt relief could pave the way for resurrecting the school district. Is that even possible?
I think certainly anything's possible. I think there are a lot of discussions that need to be had on that particular issue within the community. So I think that'll remain to be seen. I do think, though, there's a case to be made that, you know, maybe a 6.5 square mile city shouldn't have four separate school districts. That's quite highly unusual. Garden City, which is where I live, is a neighboring community, and we just have one school district, not four separate ones. So I think there are some good points to be made that the city falling under one school district would make sense, but I how to get there, I think, is that's beyond my pay grade, I guess, is what I'll say. And hopefully the community can get together to figure that out.
I was going to say, when you hear anything from your constituents about this, if you do, I mean, is there a desire to have a Inkster school district again?
Absolutely. I mean, it was, you know, schools are fundamental to community. There are a lot of families that went through the Inkster public schools. But, you know, they have their Vikings trophies still in their homes. It's celebrated. And I think that there is a desire to bring back the district. But I think, again, it remains to be seen. There's so many conversations that we need to have happen before anything like that could happen.